Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Genesis. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. Now here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing with our study of Genesis. We're in chapter 8. And today we begin at verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. Now remember, verse 24 of chapter 7 said, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So here we are, after 150 days, God remembered Noah. Do you think it took him 150 days to remember Noah? No, he knew where Noah was the whole time. God wasn't taken by surprise, was he? Nope. Verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. So that's 150 days the water was on the earth, and 150 days the water went down. So that's 300 days. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And of course, we know that there are different places and in that part of the world that claim to be the mountain where it was settled. Now, it was on the mountains of the chain of Ararat. Most scholars will tell you that it's in Turkey. And, of course, there's no way to get up to it because the Turkish government doesn't allow that, except in certain circumstances. And we've heard about some of the good things that have gone on, and there's lots of truth that's out there. Now, when Hollywood gets a hold of these things, of course, they destroy the truth. But when a documentary director or producer who loves the Lord gets a hold of these things, then you learn a lot. And there are a number of good videos, documentary-styled movies, if you will, that are out there that were produced by Bible believers that contain a lot of true information about the flood and about it landing and all that sort of thing. So anyway, we continue, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So that's 3 months later, or 2.5 months later, we see the tops of the mountains. So it's been 300 days, and now another, 2 months is 60 days and a little bit more, so maybe 375 days. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Now, was that the 40 days into this thing? Apparently it was. We'll look at some commentators in just a bit. So we're looking here in Genesis chapter 8, and we see that the waters have receded. They decrease continually until the 10th month. The 10th month on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountain seen. And one commentator says, this is not to intimate that during the days of the flood, God had forgotten his righteous servant, as I said. Hey, I agree with the commentators without knowing that I agreed with the commentators. When God remembered Noah, he remembered his righteous servant. The verb remembers refers to the special attention or personal care that God gives to his own. And the verb's used the same way concerning Samson in Judges 16:28, Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:11, Abraham for benefit of Lot in Genesis 19:29, on behalf of Israel in Exodus 2:24, and for the repentant thief on the cross in Luke 23:42. This commentator from the King James Commentary says the text says mountains, which indicates a range of mountains, not necessarily just one peak. Ararat arises about 17,000 feet above sea level. The ark rested on land for 74 days after the end of the 150 days while the water abated. And so that's what we're looking at when it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window. He sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. He also sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from the face of the ground, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. Now, all this time, the water was receding. The water was going down. It was going into the caverns of the deep. It was going into the newly made styles of oceans and such that were there on the earth now, because the earth had been remade. It had been recarved, if you will, because the fountains of the deep had exploded and had sent water into the air and into the voids, and all of a sudden we had the flood. So it was not only the firmament of heaven breaking loose and rain coming for the first time ever, but also the bowels of the deep breaking loose with water coming up as well. And the dove came in unto him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, so Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Now, he had not gotten out to look and to check the ground. He had looked out through that window that was made available by God when God gave him the instructions for the building of the ark. And so the land, the earth, the dirt was dried up, and the water had receded properly. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every thing living, as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. Now, this is a promise of God. Notice we have had this flood, catastrophic to say the least. It was a flood of 370 days, plus or minus, on the earth. It was a time of total destruction. It was a remaking of the earth because of the mountains heaving upward, the oceans being formed in the present shape, with the firmament letting loose of its water, and the hydrological cycle began, which had never been before. There had never been rain. So the hydrologic cycle of evaporation, condensation, rain, etc., all of that went into practice. God made it so. Now there was no longer the canopy of water above the earth, not the way that it was. And now the UV rays and the other rays of the sun were able to get through to the earth, and man's lifespan was limited perhaps a little more. Well, we know it was. And we also know that crops did not grow in quite the same fashion. They were not as luxurious or verdant as they had been in the past, all because we had had a change. Yes, it was because of man's sin that the change came, and yet God was taking care of his creation. He had saved 8 human beings, from which to start new generations of human beings. Humankind was safe with Noah and his family, and the animal life was safe because God had brought them on the ark and had spared them as well. And so what we have is God's grace and mercy, even though we all, if we'd lived at that time, would have deserved to perish because evil was continually in the heart of man. Now we know that that's what happened. And Noah, when he came out, he took of the clean animals and he sacrificed them as had been prescribed by God himself to Noah in his heart. And Noah built that altar. The altar was for the Lord, for nobody else, for nothing else. It was for the Lord God Almighty. And he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar unto the Lord. There was nobody else to give thanksgiving to. There was nobody else to give offerings to. It was only for the Lord. Verse 21, the Lord approved of this offering. The Lord smelled a sweet savor. It was a good odor. It was a wonderful aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. Now look at this double negative that is given to us. I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. I'll never do it. I won't do it again. It won't happen again. The curse, as it was presented in this flood, has passed. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Now notice the promise as it continues in the heart of God. And God lets us see his heart here. The innermost recesses of God Almighty and his personality. It is one of mercy. It is one of grace. It is one of acceptance of the sacrifices that were made on his behalf and for him. Remember, there is no sweet-smelling savor. There is no wonderfully good aroma unless there's a sacrifice. And there's a blood sacrifice. These animals had to die, and God received the sacrifice as the precursor of Jesus Christ himself offering himself on the cross at Calvary. Now, this is the promise of God at this point in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and I want you to catch this promise. This answers all of the questions of any scientist, any theologian, any common person, anybody of any stripe of education or lack of education. This is the verse that sets us straight when it comes to global cooling, global warming, global weather change, climate change, call it what you want to. Here is what God said, and if God is to be trusted, and he is, then what God said is important for us to understand, to realize, and to believe. And what did God say? God said, in his heart, in his very being, he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Does that mean it may be cooler or colder sometime than others? Yes. Could it be hotter or warmer sometimes than others? Yes. But there's going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be cold and heat. There's going to be summer and winter. There's going to be day and night as long as the earth remains. Now, we know that the earth will burn with a fervent heat, according to Peter in his writings. And as we have studied that, and as we will study that, we see that the promise is there until the earth no longer remains. So why are we, if we are faithful in our belief, if we are faithful to Jesus Christ, if we truly believe the Word of God is the Word of God, that the Bible is the Word of God, and we believe that it is from God the Word, that is Jesus Christ, that we have the Word of God, then we have from the pen of, I believe, Moses, this insight into the very heart of Almighty God. But you see, you have to believe. You have to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You have to believe that God's word is God's word. If you don't, then you'll set aside a verse here or a verse there, and you will not believe that as long as the earth remains, we're going to have seasons, we're going to have heat, we're going to have cold. We're going to have day and night. We're going to have times of planting and times of reaping. This is a promise of God. No scientist can prove that God is a liar. No scientist can prove that God's word lies when it says that God in his heart said, promised, that he wouldn't destroy everything as he had in the past. In verse 12 of chapter 9 coming up, we have the Noahic covenant. And so we might as well get there. But I wanted to make the point that in verse 22, we have the promise of God that we don't have to worry about climate change. We will adapt. And God has made the earth so that it works. So if there is such thing as climate change, and I believe there is climate change, I believe it gets to winter every year. I think it gets to spring every year. I think it gets to summer every year. I think it gets to fall every year. And the climate changes about every 3 months. And that's what God said would happen. Summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat. Seed time and harvest. And he says, as long as the earth remains. This is God's promise. This is not a promise from some theologian. It's not a promise from some preacher. It's not a promise from some scientist. It's not a promise from some philanthropist. It's not a promise from some doctor or nurse. It's not a promise from an educator. It's not a promise from a human being. Just as we are scared, and we have all sorts of nightmarish scenarios going on about the destruction of mankind. Let me tell you this. Until God is ready for the earth to melt with that fervent heat, which is promised after the coming of Christ, we've got 1,000 years, we've got a change, we've got a new heaven, a new earth, and it's going to be so much better than anything we've ever known. But as long as the earth remains, we have nothing to worry about. God has promised us that. Should you conserve? Go ahead. save some money by conservation. Let's take care of what we own and what we have and what we have been charged with. God gave Adam and Eve the responsibility, and it was passed on in Genesis to their children and their children's children, and all the way down through Noah and his sons and their wives to us. And we're going to see that as we continue our study in our next session. We're going to see God blessing Noah and his family.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.